I'm responsible for my own happiness, and my husband is responsible for his happiness. But we're responsible to one another, to love. Ooh, you make me live. We are called to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And I have to constantly remind myself, my husband is the closest neighbor that I live with, day in and day out. Please make sure that every week you have space carved out for just you and your wife.
Your spouse should be both someone you love and someone you like, not just your lover, but also your best friend. As we'll hear on today's edition of Come Receive the Light, it's the whole package, team member, best friend, confidant, biggest cheerleader, lover, etc., that gets you through the emotional ups and downs of a marriage. Thank you for listening today. I'm so glad you're along for this week's conversation, hosted by Father Christopher Metropoulos, and I'm Mike Trout. We're on the web at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/myocn. That's M-Y-O-C-N. And our Facebook page is perhaps the best place to stay up to date with all of our ministry activities, changing sometimes on an hour-by-hour, even minute-by-minute basis. Well, our featured guest today is Presbytera Carrie Pappas. She's the coordinator of Seminarian and Clergy Couple Care with the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist and has been married to Father Harry Pappas for over 30 years. They have three children and one grandson, and Father Chris picks it up from there.
Carrie, nice to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
We're going to be speaking about good or ideal marriages and what's necessary for the good marriage. So let's ask that right off the bat. We all have our own ideas of a good and ideal marriage, but what is really necessary for that so-called good marriage?
I think there are three elements that are necessary. The first is a husband and a wife who are emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually growing and maturing people. A husband and a wife who are committed in love to one another for life, not just if things work out. Sometimes when I do premarital work now, I hear from couples, if things don't work out, we can just get a divorce. Mm-hmm. The reality is we need to have a commitment of life to one another. Another element is that the couple is joined by and anchored in Christ and moving toward oneness in Him. These things are all necessary, not for a good marriage, because as Christians and specifically as Orthodox Christians, we need to be looking at having a vital, life-giving, growing, evolving marriage, not just a marriage that is good and that makes do, but a marriage that is vital and that is a witness of God's love and God's kingdom here on earth.
And how about some of the misperceptions, Carrie? I mean, there are people who think they need something, but may not necessarily need what they think they need.
Well, there are a whole lot of misperceptions, and I think I'm going to focus on three.
Okay.
First is that the litmus test for a good marriage is that the husband and wife make each other happy. I hear this a lot. I hear this in premarital work, and I also hear this a lot when couples divorce. She doesn't make me happy anymore. He doesn't make me happy anymore. In marriage, we're not responsible to make our spouse happy. We're responsible to love one another as Christ loves us. I'm responsible for my own happiness, and my husband is responsible for his happiness. But we're responsible to one another to love. Second one would be that if you have good communication, you have a good marriage. I think good communication is important in marriage, but often couples come into therapy because they think they're not communicating or they're not communicating well. In fact, oftentimes they're not communicating well, but the primary issue is not communication. It's that they're lacking an abiding connection and communion with each other. A couple can have all of the skills of good communication and even practice them and yet not be deeply connected to one another. The real issue for an abiding marriage is not communication. It's communion. It's emotional connectivity to one another. And I think a third misconception about marriage is, if you have a good marriage, you'll be able to resolve all the issues. It's not the differences between couples that predict the success of marriage, but it's how couples work through and work out their differences that determines what a healthy marriage looks like. There's a marriage researcher out on the West Coast who is highly respected by the name of John Gottman, and he claims that about 69% of issues between husband and wife do not end up getting resolved. They're perpetual issues between the husband and wife. And some examples of these are, one person is an extrovert, the other person is an introvert. That's not going to change, but the challenges that brings in marriage will evolve and change over the years, and how the couple works through that is what determines whether they're going to have a vital marriage. Other things that are perpetual issues. One processes verbally, the other processes internally. One person is more rational, the other is more emotive. One is sloppier, one is neater. All of these sorts of things are present in marriage, and they are perpetual issues, and they're never going to be resolved. So if we're looking to resolve all the issues in our marriages, we're not heading in the right direction. It's learning to work through them in appropriate ways.
All right, taking off of that working through things, mm-hmm. Let's look at some practices that people can put into place for regularly nurturing their marriages, you know, simple things that we can do on a daily, a weekly basis.
Okay, several. Daily meaningful conversation where we open up our hearts to each other, not just exchanging information about what needs to be done to keep the household running. We need to create a sacred space and time in our marriages with each other each and every day. We need to have some kind of a rule of prayer, and this is going to be different for different couples. For some people, it's a daily practice. For others, it's a few times a week. For others, it may be once a week, but it's really important that we have some kind of a rule of prayer together. We need to have physical affection with one another. Physical affection that in and of itself, that does not necessarily lead to sex, but we also, sexual intimacy is also an important part of our regular nurturing of our marriages. And one practice that I often recommend to couples is to learn to hug until we're relaxed. A very relaxed hug that lasts at least 30 seconds and might extend into a minute, where we drop everything 2 to 3 times a day and are just present to one another in a hug that lasts until we are relaxed. And sometimes when my husband and I do this with one another, I can actually feel stress being lifted out of my body, and that it really does help me to relax. The other is creating sacred space and time just for the other. This is harder when our children are younger, but it's necessary. I remember when my husband was a young priest, an older, wiser priest said to him at one point, please make sure that every week you have space carved out for just you and your wife, and you put that in your appointment book. It's very, very important that we have that. Another is, and this is very easy today with text messaging and emailing and Facebook and those sorts of things, to have some kind of contact with our spouse throughout the day. This protects us some from living parallel lives. Another is remembering your spouse, keeping your spouse in your heart throughout the day, remembering to lift him or her up in prayer. I often, when I think of marriage, think of Jesus' greatest commandment. We are called to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And I have to constantly remind myself, my husband is the closest neighbor that I live with day in and day out. And another very important practice for marriage is learning to forgive one another and learning how to practice forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later.
Okay. So in other words, we're talking about an ongoing effort. We're talking about something that does not just deal with birthdays and Valentine's Day and cards mm-hmm. and cookies and, mm-hmm. and flowers and stuff like that. An ongoing, I would say, full court press on working the marriage, which is difficult in today's world that literally sucks the life out of us as we're raising our children and working day in and day out to provide.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Marriage, it because if a relationship is going to grow, it requires daily nurture, just like a plant. Mm-hmm. If we don't plant it and water it, then it's going to die. And we can't just save up for birthdays, for Valentine's Day, for anniversaries, if we're really going to be nurturing and growing our marriages. Mm-hmm. If we want a marriage that's stagnant and somehow a marriage in which we simply get by, then it's not going to be nurtured as much. But if we really want a marriage that is a witness to God's love on this earth, then it has to be watered and nurtured on a regular basis with regular rhythms for nurturing it.
So let's look for a minute, Carrie, at some of those common bumps, common challenges that couples can encounter, and how can they get through them?
One that I've already sort of mentioned is living parallel separate lives. Whether the wife is at home full-time and the husband is working full-time, whether the wife and the husband are both working full-time and are trying to take care of a family, it's very easy to start living parallel and separate lives and just learning to make do in our marriages. And this is why some of those things that I mentioned before about nurturing and watering our marriages with contact, with remembrance, with some sacred space and time, that's why those things are so important. Because if we start to live parallel, separate lives, a void is going to be left at some point with one or both people, and those vacuums and voids can lead to very serious problems in marriage. Mm-hmm. Another bump is letting the small things build and become big. Sometimes these small things come up early in the marriage when couples are adjusting to each other. And I'll just mention one where the wife or the husband might be willing to drop everything in an instant when mom or dad or a sibling call. And this continues to happen for a year, for 2 years. The other spouse remains quiet, and then the resentment begins to build in the spouse who sometimes is being ignored for the sake of the family of the other spouse. And sometimes this very much interrupts the couple's relationship. So letting the small things become bigger and letting resentments build is one of those bumps that when the bump comes, we need to attend to it so that the bumps does not become a mountain that becomes insurmountable 10 or 15 years down the road in the marriage. Another bump occurs in marriage when children are born, because the first child completely changes the dynamic in the home. And so it's very, very important that even though our children need a lot of attention, nurture, and care, and much of our energy is given to our children when they're younger, to continue to attend to the marriage so that the spouses don't get the crumbs that are left over at the end of the day, mm-hmm. but that they get the best part of one another. And this is very hard when we've got young children and with everything that most of us have on our plates. Another bump is taking our spouse and marriage for granted, that no matter what, you know, we're going to stay together and then just simply not attending to the marriage. And I think the last one I would like to mention is having harsh interactions with one another. Learning, because once we start interacting with one another in ways that can become, that are mean, that become mean-spirited, that tends to erode the intimacy between husband and wife. So we really have to protect our marriage from harsh interactions.
Mm-hmm. Carrie, you know this better than I because of the work that you do, but it seems like research is now showing that some challenges can actually be good for marriages. In other words, problems don't mean we have to divorce. They actually could be a turning point for the better in the marriage if the couple can unite and overcome the issues together. Would you agree with that or not?
Absolutely. Challenges can and are good for our marriages. Through them, we're given opportunities to grow toward one another. And I would go so far as to say, when a couple doesn't have challenges in their marriages, it's actually a sign that one or both spouses aren't really showing up in the marriage. Because when you put two people together, when you put two egos together, mm-hmm. and when a husband and wife are willing to be authentically present to one another in a real relationship, we are going to have challenges.
Isn't it also the fact that the couple really, they know each other the best, so when they're going to fight or when they're going to argue with one another and they want to get their point across, they know the weaknesses of the other. So you can fight dirty, right?
You can fight, but we have to learn to fight clean.
There you go. Okay, I hear you. All right. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have experienced that once or twice in their marriage.
Yes.
To say the least.
And I've heard it said that some clergy with their premarital counseling really encourage couples to have one good fight before the marriage, because then they know what they're getting into, because the reality is we are going to face challenges and disagreements in our marriages.
So what I think we're saying here is that, yes, there are challenges. Some challenges can be good, and that not all problems have to lead to divorce. That if both couples are willing to work at it, then there are chances to not only heal that marriage, but make it strive and survive, correct?
Absolutely. And sometimes when couples face challenges, they come out on the better end, and their marriages have really been strengthened through the challenges, yes. Well,
let's pray for that for sure.
Yes.
We hear a lot about the importance of good communication. I mean, that's all over the place. So What are some of those common problems couples have with communications, and how can they address them, Carrie?
One of the most common is not really listening and seeking to understand the other person. So often, if we're in a disagreement with another person, whether it be our spouse or somebody else, we're thinking more about what are we going to say in response rather than really hearing what the other person has to say. And I think that space of listening is a very sacred act that we need to attend to in our marriages. Mm-hmm. I think another difficulty in communication that we need to attend to is sometimes we try to talk about something when either one or both spouses is upset. And we have to remember it's very difficult to resolve any kind of an issue or to even work towards some kind of resolution or understanding when one or both people are heated inwardly. It's better to take a time out, take a break from it, and come back to it when we're not upset. Another is avoiding and sweeping things under the rug and not attending to issues. What is swept under the rug will at some point rear its head in the marriage. However, dealing with everything and not learning to choose what battles need to be fought, what we need to attend to, can also be harmful to a marriage. So there's a balance there. Not sweeping things under the rug, but also learning to let some things go and to not allow resentment to build for some of those things that we choose to let go. And I think that part of maturing in marriage is learning to let some things go. There's enough that marriage brings that we need to deal with as a couple, so we do need to find ways to let go of some things. And the other is not deliberately practicing mutual forgiveness in the relationship. Sometimes we try to simply get by with a quick, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. rather than please forgive me. Because if we're really practicing forgiveness with one another, it's a mutual act. It's not just a cursory, I'm sorry. And that practice is very important, especially in a Christian marriage. It's seeking to grow in Christ. Another is using the words always, never, and should. In working with couples, I really encourage them to eliminate those three words from the relationship because they tend to shut doors and they tend to shut dialogue rather than opening them up. And also, those three words, never, always, and should, tend to be used with language that points the finger at the other person. Mm-hmm. And it's really important when we're interacting with our spouse not to be pointing at the other person. You should, you shouldn't, you always, you never. Mm-hmm. But I'm hurt when this happens. And to use more I language rather than you language that points the finger.
I believe that this is a very good follow-up question here, because some people are going to ask this. They're saying, I'm having difficulty fixing the communication, but I don't really want to go to that third party, that priest or the therapist, because maybe that's the last resort. Maybe that's the fix. I mean, is that a misperception? What do you think?
It is, because usually when somebody gets to a marriage therapist or a priest, one or both people have either one or both feet out the door of the marriage already. So it's really important that when things begin to creep into the marriage, if there are any difficulties that start to creep in, to attend to them early on. And I often hear clergy saying that oftentimes by the time a couple gets to them, it's because they really want the priest to bless the divorce rather than really wanting to work out the marriage. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go back to John Gottman again. I think there are four things that he calls actually the horsemen, the four dark horsemen of the apocalypse. And they are, when we see criticism creeping into the marriage, there's a real difference between offering a complaint and giving a criticism. A complaint might be, you know, I'm really upset. This is the second time this week that you're home late for dinner, and you said to me that you were going to be on time today. That's a complaint. A criticism is, you're always so late. You're never on time. I'm sick of you being late for dinner. So when we move from complaint to criticism, that the harsh interactions begin. And that's a bit of a warning sign in a marriage. When that gets revved up into contempt, where, oh, here he is, once again, he's late for dinner, with your eyes rolling, or your lip curled, then things are revved up even more. That's another warning sign. Another warning sign in marriage is when we get defensive. It's not my fault. I did this because you. If you didn't do this, then I wouldn't. Another warning sign. And then another warning sign that really shows that things are getting off track is when one person starts to check out emotionally, and that's what John Gottman calls stonewalling. Sort of distancing and just walking away and checking out. So if any of those warning signs of criticism, contempt, defensiveness, or stonewalling are creeping into a marriage, and sometimes these things happen with all of us from time to time, but if these things become characteristic of the interaction between husband and wife, it's time to start getting some help and to seek help outside of ourselves.
Carrie, this has been a tremendous conversation, and I'm very, very pleased that you came on the program and are sharing these things. Let me ask you finally, what part does the church have in supporting marriage, both at a jurisdictional level, parish level? How do we help?
Well, first of all, I think we need to have a clergy and lay people in our parishes who are willing to listen, that people know that there are safe places to come and talk about difficulties in marriage. Another is that we, and some parishes and metropolises are beginning to hold marriage retreats, marriage enrichment retreats, marriage workshops, so the couples are given more resources and tools for building their marriages. We now have an established premarital program, The Journey to Marriage, which is a good, great start to adequate marital preparation. The research shows that comprehensive premarital preparation can positively impact marriages for up to 5 years. But the church, our churches are wonderful places for this marriage enrichment after those 5 years to take place. And during those first 5 years of marriage, perhaps setting up mentor couples with our newly married couples, those sorts of things that the church can have a tremendous influence on healthy marriages. And there are more books being translated and written on marriage from an Orthodox perspective that are presently being utilized by many people as resources for marriage. The Center for Family Care that I work for, we're regularly putting more resources on marriage and family life onto our website and through workshops and through conferences. And I think finally, another way that the church is supporting marriage, and not necessarily the church institutionally, but the fact that we have more and more Orthodox Christian therapists across the country where people can go when they need some help and support with their marriages.
Carrie, once again, it's been a tremendous pleasure to have you on the program, Presbyteric Carrie Pappas. She is the coordinator for seminarians and clergy couple care under the office of the Center for Family Care of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father Chris.
The website link for the Center for Family Care is goarch.org. Then select Ministry Outreach from the banner on the top of the page, and then Marriage and Family. You've been listening to another weekly edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network, and we can be found on the web at myocn.net or on Facebook at facebook.com/myocn. If you'd like to give us feedback on this conversation, you can do that easily on either our website or the Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you and would appreciate your financial support. We're a nonprofit ministry arm of the Orthodox Christian Network and continue week by week with the contributions of our friends who come alongside. I'm Mike Trout. Our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. Special thanks to our executive producer, Ann Dankert. Please tell your friends about the broadcast and join us again next week if you possibly can. And remember to always have faith in what you listen to.